Bow with me. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for letting us come here tonight to love, worship, and praise you. Please help us as we sing songs and read from your scripture. That might be a sweet aroma to you and for everything to go straight to your heart. Please help all of us be confident in serving Christ and for us to be willing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
For scripture reading, it will be from Genesis 1, verses 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. And now in Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. This is the scripture reading.
There it is. I see the stars. Good evening. Today I'll be reading to you several scriptures, which is up there. First one comes from John 3:16. The second one comes from Romans 5:8. Then continue on to chapter Romans, in Romans chapter 8:35-39. Then ending with Ephesians 2 and 4-5. Starting in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Romans 5:8. God shows his love for us that while we were still sinners, God Christ died for us. Romans chapter 8:35-39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword, as it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long, we are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors, through him who loved us, for I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Last one, Ephesians 2:4-5. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together. With Christ, by our grace, you have been saved. That concludes the scripture reading for today, and our service will be go back to our song leader.
Spread. 636.
I will.
The sheet of paper I was given did not have those last ones on there, so I will look at those when I get there. So, all right, we will be starting in Hebrews 1, 1 and 2. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed here heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. And now I'll be going to Hebrews 4, verses 12. For the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And then we'll be going to John 12, 48 through 50. He who rejects me does not receive my words, has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. That'd be conclusion for me, and James will finish it.
Last few scriptures will be from John chapter 6, verses 7 through 11, then Romans 1 through 16. So from John, Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. And one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there's a lad here who has five barley loaves and two small fish, but what are they among so many? And then Jesus said, make the people sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in numbers about 5,000, and Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. And then from Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. And we'll turn the singing over to Titus.
Give me the Bible, star of my mystery. just a few minutes, we'll be singing number 325. Number 325, I Am Resolved, is our song of invitation this evening. Thank you to Brother Kevin for working on our worship assembly this evening and putting all of this together. And thank you to these young men for their willingness and, I know, eagerness to participate. That is a wonderful thing for us to see. As we spoke about this morning in our lesson with spiritual growth, not just as our young men serve in our public worship, but even we have some young women here that are children of God and serve in ways perhaps that are not as visible to us, but we certainly are blessed, as we say many times here and as we pray often for the younger generation that is among us. As we've talked about this evening, what God does in Christ, as we can think about, as you can see here on the screen, there is a lot that God has done and is continuing to do in His Son Jesus Christ. But as we extend the invitation of Christ to just think for a moment about God providing salvation in Christ, as we've already sung about, as we've already read about this evening, if you have your New Testament with you, I'd invite you to open to the book of 2 Corinthians. Chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, when Kevin sent me the schedule, I guess it was a week or so ago, he said, could you say just a brief word as a word of invitation? So I'll try to keep that short this evening. Just one passage for us to read from 2 Corinthians 5, beginning at verse 16. Paul writes here, "Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know Him in this way no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, namely that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him." This little section at the very end of chapter 2 Corinthians chapter 5, is Paul has spoken back into chapter 4 about all of the afflictions, that all of the sufferings that he and other apostles and other preachers and just other Christians were suffering as a result of following Jesus Christ, and then giving us that great picture at the end of chapter 5 into the end of chapter 4, rather, into the early part of chapter 5, that we suffer in the flesh and our outward man is decaying, but our inner man is being renewed. And we have that tent, that eternal tent, that heavenly tent to look forward to, inhabiting for eternity. And then the Apostle Paul closes this chapter with the words that we have just read about what God has done and what God is continuing to do through His Son, Jesus Christ. A lot said in these few verses. What I want you to focus on for just a minute this evening is the word reconcile. I think five times, at least in the New American Standard, just in a few verses, Paul says God has reconciled us to Himself through His Son, Jesus Christ. God didn't have to do that. God stepped out and took the initiative, like we've already read this evening from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. We were pitiful. We were in a mess. We had dug a hole so deep that we could not get out of it ourselves. But Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4 says, "But God, being rich in mercy." God has reconciled us to Himself through Christ. He has given, I think here, the us that He talks about is namely the apostles, that He has given them the ministry of reconciliation. But then we too have that word of reconciliation. And as we've just sung about, the gospel is for all. And God is depending upon us to take that word to the world. And so Paul was saying to this audience and to us as we make that appeal, as God is making the appeal through us as we teach and preach and live the word of reconciliation to people that are lost around us, that really God, I believe, is making an appeal through us to be reconciled to God through his Son, Jesus the Christ. Have you received God's reconciliation? If you're not a child of God, you are still separated from God. That word reconciliation ought to bring to our mind that there is now unity, that there is now oneness, that there is now a fellowship, a relationship that exists between us and God. And God made that possible through his Son, Jesus Christ. If you're not a Christian tonight, we hope as we sing number 325 that you will be resolved that this very evening you're going to put on Christ in baptism and you're going to be reconciled to your Creator, to your Father. If you need to respond to his invitation, we would encourage you and urge you to do that now as we stand and as we sing.
Our God, how do we define him? Some might say our creator, others might say our leader. and a lot, most of us, will say our Savior. But for a second tonight, let's turn to First John chapter 4. I'll be starting in verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this love, not that we loved God, but he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God loved us, for we also ought to love one another. In verse 8, it says, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 13. And instead of saying the word love, let's say the word God instead. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but I have not God, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all the mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. And I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not God, it profits me nothing. God suffers long and is kind. God does not envy. God does not parade himself and is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. God bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. God never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is part will be done away. When Paul was a child, he spoke as a child. He understood as a child and he thought as a child. But when he became a man, he put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now we know in part, but then we shall know just as I am also known. Now abide in faith, hope, and God, these three, but the greatest of these is God. This almighty, powerful being, the one who 1 Corinthians 13, I believe, just described. For if God is love, then Paul just defined God himself in some words. This God sent his only Son, a piece of himself, down to this earth so that we can have redemption for our sins. And we slaughtered him. Let's proclaim his death at this time while we pray for the bread. I forgot. Excuse me. If you need to be served tonight, please raise your hand. Let's bow. Father in heaven, we come before you at this time thanking you for the many blessings in this life. We thank you for this bread that those who haven't partaken are about to partake of, and we ask you, Father, that they would do so in a manner well-pleasing unto you. This we ask in Christ's name, and amen. Would you please raise your hands again? and ask Brother Paul to pray for the bread, the cup.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the many things you have blessed us with. Thank you for sending your Son to die on the cruel cross of Calvary and to shed his blood for our sins. Please help us to be willing for us to repay you the best way that we can, and for us to remember that you shed his blood for our sins. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Would anyone like to give it this time? Let's bow. Father in heaven, we come before you at this time, thanking you for letting us be here today, Father. And we ask you that those who are about to give would give with a pure and cheerful heart, Father. And we ask you that you would be with us always and continue to love us and bless us as you do. And this we ask in Christ's name, and amen. Turn services back over to song leader.
Want to thank you all for coming. Our next time of service will be Wednesday at 7 p.m. for a period of Bible study, and then we'll meet again next Sunday morning at 9:30 for Bible study, 10:30 for worship. After this song, we will be led in closing prayer, after which we will be dismissed. Would you please stand as we sing? Song number 359, Victory in Jesus.
Thank you.
Father in heaven, thank you for this day. Thank you for this time together, studying your word. Help the sick, help them get better, and help us have safe travels to our destinations. In Jesus' name, amen.